Welcome to the GovX Data Points podcast, where we discuss all things government and data. I'm your co-host, Sharon Paley.
And I'm co-host, Eric Reese. This week, we're taking a new look at data through the lens of law and algorithmic transparency. To do that, we're talking with two law professors who have an interest in information law and government in the U.S., Bob Brownice and Owen Goodman.
Bob is a professor of law and the co-director of the Intellectual Property Program at George Washington University Law School. And Ellen is co-director and co-founder of the Rutgers University Institute for Information Policy and Law. Bob and Ellen recently published some interesting and important research around freedom of information requests and trade secrets, which you can find a link to in our show notes.
Their research tackles questions like, are algorithms as opaque as they seem to be, and can we get information on them through open records requests? Listen for answers to those questions and more as we dive into our conversation with Bob and Ellen.
So, Ellen, let's start with you. Can you tell us a little bit about the research you're working on algorithms and transparency?
Yeah, hi, good to be with you. Bob Brownice and I wrote this piece sort of culminating a year's worth of research on how what the public is able to know about municipal, local government, state use of predictive algorithms by using open records requests. So, I think we all know that open records requests are not necessarily the best way for governments to disseminate information about what they're doing, but it is kind of the backstop. So we wanted to see whether or not it was true that the use of predictive algorithms was sort of as opaque and mysterious as our colleagues posited. And the other more specific question we had was, if they were impenetrable, was it because of trade secrets, because they were working with private vendors who asserted trade secrecy over the data analytics and the predictive algorithms? And so we can get into kind of what we found with respect to both those questions.
So what do you mean when you say trade secrets?
So trade secrets are state law and federal law protection for business secrets that are sort of pivotal to the economic success of a business. And in this case, it's most likely what the core trade secret claim would be for the code and at the heart of the predictive algorithm. But then around that, it was our understanding that the creators of algorithms were also claiming trade secret protection for sort of more general ideas and data structures and data inputs and data sets around that particular code or program. And then once a trade secret is claimed, all the state open records laws as well as federal FOIA provide an exemption for governments from releasing information as to which there is a protectable trade secret, although actually that exemption is a bit narrower than kind of common law and federal trade secrecy protection. So I guess in answer to your question, what's a trade secret? There are things that are legally recognized as trade secrets, which if you're in a particular position and you divulge them, you can be held liable. There are these things called trade secrets, and then there's sort of a separate and smaller set of trade secrets which governments can actually withhold from public disclosure under an Open Records Act request.
Got it. And so, given your backgrounds, Bob, I'm curious as to why you are interested in these questions and why now. What was the genesis of digging into these topics and open records requests at this point?
Yeah, I think there's two parts of my background that played into this. First, I've been involved in three projects in copyright and trademark law that involve the analysis of large data sets. And so I became interested in big data and in machine learning more generally. And then I taught trade secret law for many years as part of an unfair competition course. And so I was particularly interested in what might be a conflict or tension between claims of developers that the way that they had developed of predicting some human behavior was protectable as a trade secret, which is given other trade secrets is not a wild claim at all, right? If you've developed a method for predicting which consumers would be most interested in buying refrigerators or whatever, that would certainly be protectable as a trade secret. The problem when it comes to predictive algorithms that governments use is that the public has, we think, an interest in holding governments accountable for their use of predictive algorithms. So if governments are using these private companies to develop them, then we've got this tension. In terms of why now, I think now is a very interesting time because both private and public use of data analysis using machine learning and resulting in predictive algorithms has exploded, and public use has really, I think, taken off even more recently since government adoption often lags private experimentation in this area.
Okay, that's great. So we've covered what and why. So let's find out how. Like, what was the method for doing this research? How did you find out what algorithms municipalities were using? Were you just doing, like, straight FOIA requests? What was that approach, Ellen?
I'll answer one more thing about the kind of what and why now. So Bob, as you said, came to this from an IT background, and I come to it from more of a media and cities background. So I had been looking at kind of the development of smart cities and the role of anchor institutions in kind of the dissemination of tech infrastructure and the intersection between tech innovation and governance, especially at the local level. And so, there has been, I think in the hype about smart cities and Internet of Things and AI more generally, there seemed to be this moment where maybe the hype and the technology and, sort of the invitation to city managers to use some of this technology was getting out in front of the kind of transparency and governance mechanisms to kind of keep the public in the loop and to make sure that implementation of the technology was kind of in accordance with the asserted public policies and values of the city of the jurisdiction. So what did we do? Yeah, we pretty much straight up filed open records requests in Bob, it was 23 states, 26 requests. So each of these states. We worked with MuckRock, which is FOIA open records platform, which is a really great resource. And so every request we filed went up on their platform. And so, everyone can see what the request was and who it was to. And it took, it was a bit of an iterative process.
They post all their responses.
Right. It was, but with one exception, one of the requests we made, we did not go through MuckRock, so that was to Allegheny County. So if anyone wants to see those are not up there, but we can make them available. It was a bit of an iterative process because you don't always, as everyone knows who does these things, you don't always hit the right person or they need more information, and so in many of these cases. After a couple of tries, we hit a dead end. In other cases, we hit a dead end immediately, and then in the minority of cases, we actually received various ranges of disclosure.
Right. So go ahead, Bob.
I should say that in terms of figuring out which algorithms we were going to target, we really simply relied on press reports and however we could find out about these things. There is no central registry of algorithm use by governments, so it's impossible to know, all of the algorithms that are in use. And so in that respect, our survey is not scientific. We're just trying to figure out what we can about the algorithms that we found were in use by some government or another.
Right. So if you had, 26 requests, what would you say was the hit rate for a success and that you got, what you're interested out of those 26 requests?
I think there's probably two jurisdictions that gave us quite a lot. Allegheny County ended up providing us with a lot of material, and to their credit, they've also simply posted that material publicly, so we didn't even need to force them to divulge anything but actually a small piece of what they had had already posted.
They did give us stuff that they hadn't posted, but then they subsequently did post it. I think, which is actually kind of an interesting finding in and of itself, because what it suggested to us is that they were at the far end of having thought this through and wanting to be transparent, and they did have a pretty thoroughgoing and easy to use website, and they were trying to push these were the RFPs and some of the goals and some of the validation studies that they had done and some of the outside assessments that they had commissioned, etc. But when we talked to them, we would raise questions, and they'd say, "Oh yeah, that should have gone up, but that didn't go up. We can get that to you." So these are, as your listeners know, human driven processes about what to disclose and then how to respond to these requests. Anyway, so that was Allegheny County.
No, yeah, that's right. And then Lincoln, Nebraska did give us information about their predictive policing algorithm, and then the developer of that algorithm, Hunch Lab, approached us, having, I guess, been tipped by Lincoln about our request, we're able to provide us with additional information about the development of the algorithm. So there's definitely a variety of, among other things, business models out there among algorithm developers, and some are pursuing business models where trade secrecy is not as important to them. They see themselves doing custom development for particular jurisdictions, and they may be more interested in the publicity and the image of being relatively transparent when working with government clients. And other developers are developing what they think of as out-of-the-box algorithms that can be used by many, many jurisdictions. And because they're reselling them across jurisdictions, they are worried about some jurisdictions, the next jurisdiction just being able to do it on their own because they got that algorithm through some disclosed source.
Right. So were there any key takeaways across the jurisdictions that you reached out to or submitted requests to that really stood out in terms of, you know, broad takeaways that our listeners, as mostly city government data nerds, would be interested in?
Lovingly, we say.
Yes, lovingly. Ourselves as well.
Well, we can. I think we both probably can comment on this. I think one was that the treatment of trade secrets, which was one of our main two questions. So the general question being, are these things? Is there enough transparency around these things? The answer to which was really no. And we have some. Based on what we received and the conversations we have some views about why that might be. But the second point about trade secrets, we found that there was varying treatment about as to the same claim by the same vendor. And that had to do, so with one jurisdiction, asserting that they couldn't respond to our request because of trade secrets, and another giving us what we asked for. It was the same vendor, the same contract, and so we think, the differences have to do with state laws are different as to, how much what the presumption is of disclosure. So you have some states that really and traditions that have very strong traditions of disclosure. Another difference we think is about the bargaining power that the public jurisdiction has with respect to the vendor and kind of, and their sophistication and how cowed they are by assertions of trade secrets. And we also in discussions, this wasn't directly in response to our open records request, but in subsequent discussions we had, with some of with larger cities, we understand that some of them have policies where they just won't work with vendors who are going to be aggressive about trade secrets because they don't think that they can either satisfy their legal or their sort of self-imposed policy objectives of transparency.
Bob, did you want to add to that?
Just to follow on that, I mean, I think I thought coming in that the big takeaway was going to be this tension between trade secrecy and governmental accountability. And I think we figured out that there's something even more basic, which is that many of the policy choices that are being made when the algorithms are being developed are not even being documented. And so even without any assertion of trade secrecy, it turns out that Open Records Act do not force governments to create documentation that doesn't already exist. So, one of the takeaways is that governments should think about requiring documentation of key policy decisions made during the development of an algorithm so that documentation is available. In terms of bargaining power, I think one of the lessons is that governments probably have more bargaining power than they think they do. We found that even with algorithms that are being given away for free, so the Arnold Foundation, for example, has developed an algorithm in the criminal justice area that assesses for pretrial release whether the likelihood that a criminal defendant is going to appear for trial or is going to commit additional crimes if they are released before trial. And they're essentially giving that away for free. And so you'd think, wow, governments don't have a lot of bargaining power there. They'll either just take it or leave it. But one of the things we found is that the government returns contracts to us that they had signed with the Arnold Foundation, and some of the governments requested more disclosure, and they got it. And so even algorithms are being developed by foundations. Obviously, the foundations need clients. If they don't have clients, they've lost, they've failed. And the leverage, of course, may even be more, or is likely to be more, when governments are paying for these things. So, I think a key a takeaway for governments is you probably have more power than you might think you have. If you develop sort of a set of contracting standards for making sure that the development of algorithms is documented and that the documentation is provided to you, that's likely to happen.
That's really great. Do you guys have other ideas? Maybe Bob, we'll start with you, on how you can make this research actionable for governments. Like, what are some of the other steps they can take to sort of keep on top of algorithmic transparency?
Well, we, you know, the in the last section of our article, we sort of have a list of 8 different areas in which during algorithm development, various policy choices are made. And so, you know, I think it would be great if governments or associations and nonprofits, NGOs that are working with governments, develop a set of best practices in contracting, and I know some of this work has already started to be done, in elaborating on what kind of policy choices need to be documented. I think that governments also need to insist that post-implementation validation studies are done. I know those are like lots of long words, but right. The question is, after this algorithm starts being used by a government, how well is it predicting whether a criminal defendant is going to show up for trial or not, whether crimes are being committed in a particular neighborhood or not, if it's not perfect, and no algorithm is perfect, but we shouldn't condemn them for that, because certainly human beings without algorithms are not perfect either. If it's not perfect, right, are the imperfections weighing more heavily on one group than another? Right, are minority groups being disadvantaged, for example, because the algorithm seems to be less accurate with them and is over-predicting certain behaviors that in fact they're not engaging in? I think government officials need to be aware of those things and make sure that those studies are done.
We have these suggestions at the end. We know that there are a lot of foundation-funded efforts to try to, including Bloomberg, philanthropy is what works, cities and others that are trying to help, especially less resourced cities, have algorithmic accountability out of a box. We would love to work with those efforts to try to make this scale. I think that's one of the problems here, and it's definitely what we saw in our research was that, if you've got an under-resourced city, it's all they can do to try to roll these things out, and then asking them to have all kinds of procedural steps and best practices around that rollout seems like a very heavy lift. So we think there's probably a lot that can be. There are a lot of people working on this now, we would be very supportive of some collaboration to try to support cities who are, trying to be both more accountable and more transparent. I will say that, I think this fits into larger questions about data practices, and what's drawing most of the attention now are questions about fairness, and people are struggling to define what that means, and it's the implications of fairness are very clear, especially in criminal justice and family services programs. One of our interests, though, is in asking the questions other than fairness, because we think that you know, there are all kinds of policy choices that are implicated in any kind of any of these data analytics, but especially predictive algorithms, but really any of the smart city applications, where there are trade-offs and there are goals, and those goals used to be stated in kind of, you know, in an analog way, and have, you know, notice and comment procedures and hearings, and you could actually understand what the government was trying to accomplish. And a lot of that gets lost when it gets kind of laundered through through a predictive algorithm or another sort of data-intensive automated system. And so, you know, really, you know, our the next step for that is to see if there's a way in the contracting process and in other kinds of public communications and public education to make the public feel comfortable that they know what these systems are trying to do and what the trade-offs are, obviously in terms of fairness, but also just in terms of, you know, allocating resources and value choices that are made.
Wonderful. Well, thank you both so much for joining us. I think those are some great next steps for us to consider, for our listeners to consider, and to really think through how we interact with the public around algorithms and algorithmic decision making. So thanks again to both of you.
Well, thank
you so
much.
Good talking to you.
Thanks again to Bob and Owen for joining us today. For more information on their research and forthcoming publication on algorithmic transparency, check out the links in the show notes.
And if you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to leave us a review on iTunes or Google Play. Your support of the podcast means a lot to us. We look forward to you all joining us next time to find out where the data points.